Clip pauses it.
I guess the whole point is...
Okay, so we're up to basically, the problem is, last problem, or set of problems is what's the difference between these two tshuvas vis-a-vis how quickly they're accepted. So when it comes to the tshuva mira, the Rav says, that's Ram the Perek Aleph. And there you have all these levels. You have four levels, basically. If it's just a mitzvah say, positive commandment, it's accepted immediately. Right when you do tshuva. If it's via lo sase, a regular negative commandment, then it takes tshuva and Yom Kippur. If it's a really bad negative commandment, like kares, or mitzvah bezdin, then it takes also yisurim, also afflictions. And if it's kol Hashem, then it takes even death. So you have four, the when the kapara, the atonement, emerges from your tshuva, is really dependent, is not instantaneous in general. It depends. There are four differences, four categories. But when it comes to tshuva me'av and the Perek Zayin, the Rambam doesn't seem to imply anything like that. He says immediately, overnight, he's a new person, he's carved to God, close to God. So he says that's tshuva me'av, and tshuva me'av takes place instantaneously. Right away. There's no lag. Right? So that's the Rav explains it. He doesn't explain, though, why it should be that way, why this difference should be this difference. He just says that, and that makes sense. You know, and think about it. He kind of says, look into it. So our question is could we understand that? Yeah, I mean, I do think it's true. I think what David Randy's mentioning is true, is that it's hard to understand what kapara is. What is it? It's a more basic question. We understand, in a certain sense, the Ava one. Because, look, you did Tshuva. That should be even by Yera. I mean, if you did Tshuva, you did Tshuva. So what's the whole idea of these gradations? And the lag time, the tolim, hanging. What's the concept of that? Why don't you just say, you did Tshuva, you did Tshuva, that's it. By both. So what else is there? What do you need Kapara for? Why isn't everything like the Kalos, that it happens immediately? So whether it's by Ava or by Yira, I mean, if you did Tshuva, Tshuva means you've abandoned the thing. So what more is there? So I think, if we're ready to differentiate between why Ava and Yira are different, I think it explains why Yira, why should there be this whole idea altogether? What does that mean, even? Well, what's this whole idea of Kapara? Who needs Kapara? Okay, so this might be a decent time to mention what Rabbi had said. Okay? To answer this question.
The Avan Yira question?
Yeah, not really. He doesn't say Avan Yira. But right, the question which Avan Yira is answering, the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Zion. Okay, because I think it's crucial. And I think with what Rabbi said there, I think we could maybe try to explain this Perek Aleph, because Rabbi has to explain Perek Aleph also. And then maybe we'll be able to see the difference between Rebbe said and the Rav said. Okay? So, kind of a funny course here, but... So, he basically said is that Perek Zion is the easier Perek, is a tshuva in the framework of perfection. In terms of perfection, the guy who does tshuva is a new person. And that's it. It's like he never sinned, because he's not attached to sin anymore. In terms of his soul, the reality of his soul and his attachment to the good or to the evil, and he's totally removed from the sin. He did tshuva. What more do you want from the guy? The guy is a different person. He overcame that. He used to be that guy, but he's not that guy anymore. He's a new guy. He's changed. If it's a real tshuva, it's a real tshuva. And that's what I'm saying, is that how great is tshuva? He's a new person. He's close to God. He's all that stuff. I mean, he's a new guy. In terms of the pure philosophical framework of the soul of man and what he's attached to, is like yesterday I said, what's bad? Someone said, what's bad about the sin? Is he attached to the sin? And if he's not attached, then he's not attached to the sin. So he's overcome it. He's a new guy. That's the framework, pure philosophical framework, and that's why, like in the pure philosophical framework. The Rambam says also you have tshuva not only for our sins, you also have it for bad character traits. Because in terms of the pure philosophical framework of a person, either one is an imperfection, whether he does an avera or he has a bad character trait. Both of them are removals from truth, and they're imperfections, and he would have to perfect himself in either framework. Okay, you may not fully get what I'm saying until you get the other side. Okay, but that's one framework. The other framework of Perek Aleph is you could call it like a halachic framework. But the framework is that at Sinai, and he said this is part of the bris of the Torah, part of the covenant of the Torah at Sinai, is that we accept it upon ourselves to be a nation who represents true ideas to the world. And in doing so, there's a covenant, a bris, that if we live properly and we reflect true ideas about God, then we will get certain rewards. And if we live corruptly and teach wrong ideas and represent false ideas, then we will be punished. And there will be negative consequences. See, because the world, we were set up as the nation who people look at to judge, to judge truth and to judge God. So we took on a role. At Sinai, we took on a role. We can no longer say, we just want to be a regular nation and subject, just live like normal laws of nature. No, because people are now going to look at you and say, this is the nation of God. And if you're living corruptly, the nation of God, you're going to get punished. So it's like because of our role, we accept it upon ourselves at Sinai, it's a double-edged sword. If we live properly, then we get great benefits. But if we live improperly, then we get great, terrible onshen. Okay, it's not like just left, we're not left up to the laws of chance anymore. That's a bris. It's a bris. It's like it's a treaty. Treaty is two-sided. If you break it, there are benefits, but if you break it, there are consequences. So that's part of the bris of Sinai. So it means that if you break the system, so now you've caused you've in a certain sense undermined the mission of the system. Now, it's very nice in terms of philosophically, you could change your mind and do tshuva, but you have still poked a hole in the system, and you've still caused a negative effect vis-a-vis the system. The fact that in your heart you're a new guy is very nice between you and God in terms of the philosophical reality. You're a new guy, but bottom line is, someone looks at you, they see you're a sinner, and you did this as a sin, and you represent a negative idea, and for that to go unpunished or without any consequence, you have to, so to speak, correct this. The system demands that you rectify it from the framework of the system, and kapara is where you've, so to speak, made it back to the system, as you've done Yom Kippurim and thereby accepted God's will and expressed a certain acceptance of the reality of God's whatever dominion, whatever it is that you've done on Yom Kippur, or you've accepted certain punishments wholeheartedly and recognized God as being just, or whatever the case is. So the kapara comes about where it's like, in order to receive kapara, even if internally you're perfected and like in Perek Zayin, you're close to God. You're philosophically, your soul is close to God. But in terms of the contract of Sinai, there are consequences. There have to be consequences because of the nature of the system. But within there are consequences, but there is a system of removing the consequences, and that's kapara. That God didn't just say there are necessary consequences. There are certain things which you could do that could remove the consequences. Okay, and those are actions. Like, that's why, for instance, this is very interesting, is that essentially when the Rambam has the mitzvah of tshuva, and it says, this is what I was mentioning before, it's only when you violate an avera. The Rambam in the Halacha Perek Aleph does not have for bad character traits. So why not? Because you don't break the system for having a bad character trait. You're imperfected and you're removed from God, but it's not an avera. Well, that is part of the system. Chil Hashem itself is a breaker of the system.
Right.
Chil Hashem is right. Chil Hashem, Chil Hashem, that itself is a breaker of the system. Okay. It's not just a philosophical idea. Chil Hashem is also.
I'm saying that the point is not.
Chil Hashem is, that's why Chil Hashem is the worst, because that's the ultimate break of the system. The whole system is a system of Kiddush Hashem. If you're Mechal Hashem, if you do something which is manifestly causing people to say, just look at God, look at Torah, what's worse than that? That is the ultimate break of the system. The whole system is Kiddush Hashem. That's why the Rebbe pointed out, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, you have the Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is in Hilchos Tzivei Torah, because that is the most fundamental reality of the whole Torah. The whole Torah is the system of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. So if you actually are, it's one thing if you eat pig, it's like you're undermining the system. If you're actually mechaduchel Hashem, you actually cause, do something that people say, look at that crazy Jew, that crazy Torah, this is corrupt. I mean, that is the undermining the whole mission of the Torah. The whole mission of the Torah is that people look at the Jews and say, look at this great, wise, and understanding nation. And now here you're doing the exact opposite. You're directly undermining the thing. So that's the highest. And the levels of the sins are how central they are to the system. So from their own shim, you could deduce how central they are to the system. So like from Misos and Krisos are the very core of the Jewish people. Like Rayos is the whole Kedushas Yisrael, like a sexual provision of Zacharias. Those are things which are tied to the whole underlying sanctity of the Jewish people. So those sins are undermining their whole mission of the Jewish people in a more in a stronger way than other ones. So there are levels of violations. But if you don't violate that mission is from Tariag. The bris at Sinai, the covenant at Sinai, was the covenant on following the system of 13 mitzvahs. It wasn't on, per se, on character traits. True character traits could somehow come in from Vahachta V'Dracha, but essentially it's not. Character traits would be philosophically you're removed from God, but it's not an avera. It's not a breach in the system. And that's what the Raman in Parak Aleph, where he's talking about the tshuva for, where the mechayiv of the tshuva is, what obligates you is the break of the system. And that's why it says when you violate a mitzvah. But in the seventh parak, where he's talking about the philosophical tshuva, the fact that a person has bechira, you have free will, and you're a human being, and you're a human being and you have free will, and you have the ability to be close or far from God, so that, of course, is going to be not only on sins, it's going to be on character traits also, because what's the difference? Either way, a bad character trait distances you from God in the same way as a chet distances you from God. So give me one second. Now, that's why also you see, for instance, is that it seemed to me this is true, is that the mitzvah, when he talks about tshuva, the mitzvah is not just to repent, but is to do vidoy. To say, vidoy is confession, to say a certain formula. But in the seventh parak, he doesn't really, he has it a little bit, but, he doesn't have it, actually. No, so what I would say is that if you look in the seventh parak, in the correct version, in the Frankel, he doesn't say a word about vidoy, about confession. Yeah, in the fuss, it has the vidoy, but it doesn't have it in the Frankel, because it could be. I'm not positive about this, but it could be is that see the vidoy is the see tshuva is an internal process. So as a mitzvah, like if you want to have like the confession. If you don't have a mitzvah of tshuva vis-a-vis the system, it has to have a halachic structure to it. You can't just say internally you think some things. It's very nice. It has to be formalized as a mitzvah, as a ma'aseh mitzvah. So the mitzvah is you confess, you express your thoughts in words. Right? That's what the vidoy is. It's where your internal processes become expressed. Because it's a mitzvah, it's part of the system. The system is you break the system, then you get kapara through making up to the system through the mitzvah of tshuva. So it has to be something which is concrete, it's a mitzvah. But when you're talking about the philosophical reality of tshuva, of a person perfecting himself in the seventh parak, you don't even say anything about vidoy. Because that's an internal process, it's purely in your heart. And you don't have to say anything. Internally, you're a new person. You don't have to say any vidoy. Internally, you are a new person. Did I mention that Gemara, which says if you marry a woman on the condition that you're a tzaddik, he says, tzaddik gomor, even if we know that you're a rasha, so then it works, because maybe in your heart you did tshuva. Aye, but you didn't do vidoy. Didn't say anything. I mean, you were right there and a second before. Well, how could you? It says maybe the tshuva in your heart. The answer is yeah. In terms of the mitzvahs tshuva, you didn't do. But through the reality of tshuva of tzaddik is based upon your internal state. So your internal state, you can do tshuva in your head. It's an internal thing. But in the first parak, he's talking about. He starts off by the mitzvah of tshuva. That's why he starts here. Because he starts off tshuva fits into the tayag mitzvahs. So on a 613 mitzvahs. Then he ends up introducing free will, and now he's talking about the Adam, that qua Adam, as a human being, who's his relationship with God. That is a new separate mechayev, a separate obligator, philosophical obligator of tshuva, which is that he wants to be close, he wants to partake of reality and of truth. And he mentioned the Olam Haba, and it's the person who wants the world to come. He's simply his closeness or distance from God. So it's a different framework of tshuva. So that's instantaneous. That framework is instantaneous. But the tshuva of the vis-a-vis the system is not necessarily instantaneous. Very nice, you did tshuva, but the system has a major hole in it. So you did a chol Hashem. Everyone looks at the Jews and says, look at those bad Jews because of what you did. So it's very nice. Internally, you think you did tshuva, but you have to make up, repair that breach of the system. And kapara is the method, and you'd have to study how exactly they work. But those are the reparations of the system. That's the framework of kapara. Yeah. Hold off on the Gemara for a second. But so I think according to this, so what's Rabbi saying? I think he's saying, I mean, I don't know if Rabbi commented on the Rav's thing, so I don't know. I'm just basing what my interpretation of Rabbi said, he didn't say anything about Alvin. Yeah. So based on what I'm saying, based on the way my understanding of the thing, is that Rebbe's saying is that philosophically, tshuva is tshuva. He's not saying tshuva, yira, ava, tshuva is tshuva. Tshuva, you're close to God. Whatever. He's not drawing that distinction. Okay, you do tshuva, you do tshuva. And then you're close to God. And that's Perek Zion. Perek Aleph is halachic tshuva. Halachic tshuva. So even if you did tshuva from ahava, whatever, tshuva, the bottom line is you breached the system. You did the best tshuva in the world. You're a new person. Who cares? Bottom line is you did a chal Hashem. Bottom line is you corrupted the system. So it's not. So they're two different frameworks. They're two different worlds. And you can't say is it instantaneous or not. Is what instantaneous? Kapara isn't. Kapara is correcting the system. That's not instantaneous. But tshuva and your closeness to God in the framework of your soul's attachment to truth and to reality and to God, that's Perek Zion. That's instantaneous. So two totally different discussions. Totally different discussions. The Rav, it seems the Rav is not willing to accept that. See, because he's bothered by, he says, like, for instance, he says the guy's close to God, he listens to his davening, his tefillos, and his mitzvos are accepted, and he's beloved before God. And so the Rav is learning that how could you do that and say the guy still needs kapara? Right? He doesn't have this distinction. Because he doesn't hold by it. He holds, what do you mean? If the guy is, the Rav holds that if you do a real tshuva of mava, then you don't even need kapara. Then even I, the breach of the system, you're a different guy. Could be he holds. Then you're mamish a different person. See, if you're the guy who does a tshuva out of yira, so it means you really still are attached to the thing which you did, to the chait. It's just that you've overpowered it with another counterforce. So you're the same guy. You've just shifted the balance of your psyche. You've just shifted the forces so that you're not going to do it again. But you're still the same guy. And therefore, there are consequences of vis-a-vis the system, and you have to repair them, and you have to get kapara. But when you do tshuva me'ava, you're a different person. You're not that guy anymore. You are now a person who looks down at that. That whole thing is false, and you're a guy who's now, through your bechira, you've really become a person of knowledge and of truth. And that's like, it's totally separate from you. So that guy, it's like, you don't even need kapara anymore. Kapara is for that guy, but you don't need that. You breach the system, that was a different guy. So therefore, it's instantaneous. I mean, it seems like when Rabbi's saying it, it doesn't work. I mean, it's very nice you're a different guy philosophically, but who cares? What bottom line is you organize, you human being, physical person, you did bring that about. So vis-a-vis other people, they don't care if you're a different guy. Bottom line is you're the same guy. You know? Yeah. True. I mean, you could say, go further in the Machlokas, define the Machlokas between the Rav and the Rabbi. I'm not sure, but it's a little speculative here, but it's true, it's a good point. Danny says, how could you not need kapara? Bottom line is, you destroyed the system. So, I mean, vis-a-vis people and observers, you destroyed the system. So internally, you're a different guy, who cares? So it could be the question is why do you need kapara? Do you need kapara because of the breach of the system vis-a-vis the external observers? You destroyed the system, and therefore you have to repair the system. So then, it doesn't help what you do internally. The bottom line is, you need to do this. You need to do. You need kapara. You need these steps. It doesn't matter whether it's yira or ava. The observer doesn't know that. That's just purely an internal thing. But if that's the way you're saying, Rabbi's learning. But according to the Rav, maybe he'd learn that the need for kapara isn't for you. That for you, it's very nice you did tshuva, you're a new guy. But bottom line is, you breached the system. And that's like a certain, that itself is like an imperfection in you, and that itself demands that you correct the system. So if that's the case, if you say, that's as long as you're still related to the same guy, you're the same guy. But if you really become a brand new guy, then you can say you don't need that anymore. Perhaps. Okay, that's interesting. But you don't even need that.
I guess that's just to summarize, I mean, without that last point, I mean, but just to take a step back, it's just to summarize the differences, that both, it seems to me, well, again, this is my interpretation here, but both the Rebbe and the Rav would say that the first parak is the idea of because you've destroyed the system, and you have to make it up. Kapara is correcting the system, and that's kapara. And that's the halachic thing, even though you're internally perfected. Who cares? You destroyed the system. That's the one thing. Now, the question is, what do I have with Perek Zion? What's in Perek Zion? So Rebbe will say that's a different framework. That's the framework that's purely philosophical. That's not talking about the system. That's purely philosophical, so there's no contradiction, because in terms of the system, really, I don't care how good your tshuva is, you destroyed the system. But in terms of purely philosophical, who cares about the system? You're a new person. You've changed. But the Rav is going to say, he's going to say no. Is that when he say the system, you have to worry about the system. That's Perek Aleph. Perek Zion is, yeah, but if you do a different kind of a tshuva, a new kind of a tshuva, the tshuva me'ava, this new special kind of tshuva, you don't have to worry about the system. It's a different thing. You're a new person, and that's the system vis-a-vis the old guy, but you're a new guy. I mean, that's like seems to be the difference. Like, what's happening in Perek Zion? Is it a different framework, namely the philosophical as opposed to like the halacha, the system? Or is it, no, it's not a different framework, it's a different guy. It's the same framework, but a different type of tshuva doesn't demand that you go worry about the system. Well, it sounds to me simpler to say, like Rebbe is saying. Is it in terms of, yeah. You know, I was just saying before, is that it seems to me that Rebbe's I think, is smoother in the Rambam. Because, first of all, the Rambam is not mentioning two different kinds of tshuva. You know, it doesn't sound like he's talking about that. On the contrary, but I would say it sounds like the Rambam is talking about the Rambam starts off with the mitzvah saseh of tshuva, he's talking about the halachic thing, and then in the seventh paragraph, after he mentions bechira, he mentions that he's talking about the philosophy of tshuva. So he's talking one in the framework of the halacha of tshuva, and that's kapara, and the other one's the framework of the philosophy and his closeness to God. So it just seems like a smooth, you know. But to say that the Rambam's talking about where he's doing two kinds of tshuva, you know, and that he's mentioning a new kind of tshuva in Perek Zion, but he doesn't say that. I mean, he'll say they're all saying it because he's mentioning Bechira, and that's a tshuva of Bechira. So yeah, that's what they're all saying. He's not just making it up, but it's like the Rambam doesn't say this. And his question is, well, the Gemara has this thing of Avan Yira, so where's that in the Rambam? So this is where it is in the Rambam. So he's deducing it based upon that the Rambam must hold by the Gemara, but Rambam doesn't describe these two kinds of tshuva. So it's a little bit reading into, you know, I think there's a little more reading into the Rambam. But yeah, no, I mean, I'd say Rebbe could just learn the Gemara. How's Rebbe learn the Gemara of Nasus Lozis Donos? You know, that good difference between Avan Yira. That will just be in terms of the soul. Because in terms of the state of the soul, in terms of the perfection of the soul, for a person who does tshuva me'ava, his soul is really, it's like their merits, because he gains from them, but a guy does tshuva from Yira, they become like Shkagos. He's now philosophically like he's a shogeg. But he's not talking about halachically what happens. Halachically, he still needs kapara. He doesn't say Nasluk is donos and he doesn't need a kapara. It's still like, if a guy's tied a carbon for him, like for instance, it could be halachically he can't pull this off, but according to the Rav, let's say a guy does one of these chataim, and then he's chayv a karbon, which is karbon brings back kapara, and then before he does that, he does tshuva me'ava. So is he potter from a karbon now? I mean, no. But I mean, they're all just say, look, he can't halachically recognize whether he's really the tshuva me'ava or not. It can't play into the halachic system, you know? But I mean, I guess that's what Rebbe will say. That's the whole framework of kapara. Kapara is the framework of the halachic system. So what he does internally is never going to register vis-a-vis the halachic system. You're right. I mean, that's that point before. And I guess what my father's mentioning is that like when we say great is tshuva, that your purpose things become like merits or become accidental. And this is what Michael mentioning is that that's Chesed Hashem. That's God's graciousness, that really is the strict justice. You're given a chance, and you failed. And God, these are the terms of your life, and if you live these terms, then you'll be able to have the good, and if not, then you're not. And you failed. So that's it. But saying is that, so you changed? Okay, fine, so you changed. Internally, you're changing, you're a different person. But bottom line is, there are consequences, and justice would dictate that there are certain, whatever consequences are. So it's saying, but God, it's Chesed Hashem, it's God's mercy or His kindness, you know, using, you know, as if kiviyachol, that he treats you like you are. In terms of he accepts your tshuva, and says that since now the state of your soul is that it's like a merit, so he'll treat you like that. He won't hold it against you, so to speak, and he won't punish you for it. And he won't exercise judgment. And similarly by shogeg, he won't exercise. That's the greatest tshuva, that God treats it that way. It seems to be without God doing that, he says, look, you failed. Like, that's the idea. Midas Adin, Midas Rachman. The other Rishon fails. That's it. He's given a plan, blueprints for his existence. If you follow it, then you have a right to live. Otherwise, you don't. So once you break the system, then God gave you, created you, and gave you certain terms of your existence. But it's God's mercy that he gives you a second chance, so to speak. And he says, if you do tshuva, then he'll treat you differently, treat you under your new state. I mean, that's rachamim. That's like that's the yom midos. We're davening for rachamim from God. That's what we're asking for. Is that we sin, but we're asking for God to give us a second chance or to treat us based on our tshuva. What'd be interesting to do is, I mean, I did that, I was doing this a little bit last night. It's something if you want to pursue a little bit is how it works in the first. Like, for instance, tshuva usually, all these kaparas, Yom Kippur and all these things, the Rambam says they always need tshuva also. Can't just have Yom Kippur. It's tshuva plus Yom Kippur. Or tshuva plus Yisurah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But except by the Seir Mishalayach. A scapegoat, you don't even need tshuva. So I don't know why it makes sense. I mean, there's an intuitive sense to it, but define why it is that you always need tshuva. And then why it is how it is that by the Seir Mishalayach you don't need tshuva, a scapegoat. But it only Seir Mishalayach only for kalos, for lenient sins. But for stringent sins by the Seir Mishalayach you need tshuva also. So I don't know, just the way it works is interesting. To try to get into the different the first few halachos basically. If you have something to work on. You could talk about it, I have some thoughts. Yeah.